What you
Love Talk Radio.
What is it?
Thank you. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, June 28th of 2022. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it is great to be with you, as it always is. It's not something that I say and take lightly and go, well, I wish I wasn't with you. No, no. I actually mean it when I say it's great to be with you. And as I said, I truly do mean it, because I love you guys. I truly do. And so it's so So I was just thinking, you know, I'm going to be this next week down in Kentucky with my brother, and then to Ohio. I mean, that state to the south. But first, I'm going to a different event in that state to the south, Dominion Camp Meeting 35. Specifically, it's Rod Parsley's Dominion Camp Meeting of 2022. This is the 35th year that they've had Camp Meeting at World Harvest, and I'm going to be there Friday night. And I'm excited to see what God has. And so we'll see how we will see how that goes. And so there's that. Also, what that means is that next week, there's either going to be one or two shows, but at least one. And I am really looking forward to it. So that's something that to me is going to be exciting, getting to see my brother down in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. And I do like going down there a lot. I really do. It's not something I'm just saying. It's always great to see him, even though it's not, you know, a big, huge city. But it's nice. And so, of course, tends to be a very common time of year for my family to go to another state, tends to be the week of the 4th of July. Part of it has to do with that, because of my dad working at GM, they have a week of shutdown the week of the 4th. So, Therefore, my dad gets that week off. And therefore, we often find ourselves going somewhere that week. And so we're going down to see my brother down in Kentucky. And like I said, I do like going down there. And I'm sure that it's going to be fun getting to see him. So with July coming, there are a lot of national food dates in July. There's national, of course, July is National Hot Dog Month, or as I like to call Hot Dogs Mystery Tubes. I only call them that because my pastor calls them that, but you might not know what's in them, but they're super tasty. They really are. I don't let that keep me from eating them because they truly are delicious. So it's national, like I said, National Hot Dog / Mystery Tube Month. And then it's also National Ice Cream Month. Yay! I actually mean it when I say yay. How about it be a National Ice Cream Month? The National Ice Cream Day is in July, National French Fry Day, National Fried Chicken Day. I didn't know about that one until last year. I want to say National Burger Day might be too. And a couple of other different ones. So there's several different ones in July, which I think is cool. And to be honest, I do always like to say, you know, great people were born in July and great food days are also in July, as I would also say about that, because I'm not just saying that because it's the peak of summer, even though it is. And so, of course, it'll be here on Friday. And so, it was just, you know, a little something that I was thinking about, something that was, you know, on my mind. And so, let me just check the I was just checking the clock out, just making sure we were good. And we are good right now. We really are. And so I also wanted to let you know, on July the 25th, it'll be the 5-year anniversary of me launching this show. So it's going to be an awesome thing. It really is going to be an awesome thing, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm still working on the details, but just know that it'll be awesome. Or epic, like Dr. Rodney Howard Brown likes to say. I like saying that. It'll be epic. And that's not something I'm just saying, you know, for like some kind of filler word. I honestly mean it. And so I am looking forward to that. And it's Christmas in July. To be honest with you, listeners, I do not know why Christmas in July is so much of a bigger thing than Christmas in June. Because all Christmas in June is, really, is just a reminder that you're halfway back. Emily, why do you think it is that Christmas in July is so much more of a bigger thing than the whole Christmas in June thing? Because you would think, if anything, it would be Christmas in June, that would be bigger because it's the halfway.
Yeah.
So as to why, listeners, I honestly do not know as to why. I have no idea. But I was. That did make it kind of neat that I was in Cedar Point on Christmas in June, which... So that was kind of neat because, of course, December Christmas, you can't go there because they're closed due to the climate. Now they do, in the southern part of that state to the south, down there in the Cincinnati region, they do open up Kings Island for what they call Winterfest for select nights around that time between the day after Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve. And they have different, you know, they open some of the rides and different things like that, and they have all kinds of Christmas trees and that, I'm sure. So that would be cool. And apparently there's choirs everywhere and that, and feel like that might be, maybe that's a little more of an appropriate climate for that because due to weather than what Sandusky is. Because Sandusky is on the lake, whereas Mason, Ohio, to be specific, it's Mason. So, yeah, Mason is not by the lake. It's a lot more south because it's down near Cincinnati. And so, I actually had a dream once that it was in like December, and as part of it, they were going to have Cedar Point open all week. And so in the dream, we were going on a Tuesday in December. In the dream, we get there, but literally no one's there except for some workers. The funny thing, weird thing is, in the dream, they couldn't tell me why no one was there. But that sounds kind of weird, Emily, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That you would get there and no one would be there, the next thing, except for a few workers. I wonder if maybe they didn't show up because they were afraid of how cold it might be, and they weren't sure, and maybe they weren't sure what to expect. Like maybe they didn't advertise it enough. They did Christmas in the park back in 1994, They never did it again. And I doubt they ever will do it again. But Kings Island's been doing it for a lot of years. So they don't necessarily open most of the coasters, from what I've been told. But they open some. And apparently they change the names to try to sound more appropriate for the fall and winter holidays. Like one of them has changed to Pumpkin something. And different things like that. And I always thought it would be cool to have, like, if you went to a roller coaster, to a theme park in December, and all the rides had Christmas decorations on them. Have you seen pictures by chance of Universal during Christmas or no?
Yeah.
What about Busch Gardens? Do they decorate nice? But they can't necessarily put them on the rides.
Correct. It'll be like, in case it's too windy or something, you don't want like some tinsel or anything like getting stuck on the wheels of the ride, because it could break it, and then the whole ride could be messed up.
Because I'm one of those guys that would want them on everything. You know what I mean?
For the decoration?
Yes. In a place like that, at least, I'd want them on everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is, I mean, can't they necessarily put lights over the rides, or not necessarily?
Okay.
Change out the LED lights and push them to Christmas, change them to Christmas LED lights? You know, or how about musical lights on the rides that play Christmas music during the ride? That'd be different. I'd like something like that, to be honest. But honestly, listeners, that kind of stuff would have to be mostly from an area like Cincinnati, Kansas City, places like that on south. But up here, sadly, no. Sadly, not up here, unless it's like, you know, Seattle or something like that. But in the winter, of course, you know, Seattle's so cloudy and stuff. Uh-huh. And so, but it was just a thought that I had had, you know, because I looked that up recently, this whole thing of Winterfest, what they do at Kings Island, because I had that thought when I was in Cedar Point. And you say, why in the summer? Well, on June 25th, you're halfway between Christmases. And so that's what was up with that in my mind. But apparently they advertised that at the one in at Kings Island, they do have like a lot of vendors at which you can get like Christmas stuff. So that's kind of neat. Did you actually go to Busch Gardens during the Christmas thing or no? Did they put up Christmas trees that were outside?
Not that I saw. I just saw that they put up Christmas lights on the palm trees and stuff.
Does Universal do it, though, the outdoor Christmas trees?
I don't know.
Or have you not seen too many outdoor Christmas trees before, period?
I haven't seen too many
Not even a pure real so much either?
Yeah, it's more like they just put Christmas lights on the tree that are already there.
But they do more lawn decorations down south, though. And you don't mean a little more, you mean a lot more. Don't they?
Yeah.
Like, Florida does it a lot, the ones on the lawn, don't they?
Yeah, when I was there, I saw a lot more than they did in Michigan.
Because up here, do you feel like a lot of them are afraid that they'll get snowed on?
Yeah.
But up here, the snow's the natural decoration if you can get it to stay on the ground.
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
So what do you mean sometimes?
Lately, there hasn't been that much snow.
It all comes after or it comes in November. That's been the bad part. It's like it hasn't done it in time, necessarily, to be, like, within the season. Like, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, prime time for it to be doing that. I like to say that between Thanksgiving and Christmas, or the 27th or whatever, should be the only time that it should be allowed to snow in Michigan. Oh, I wish. And then after Christmas, New Year's Day. What if New Year's Day it could go straight to spring? I wish. Don't you too?
Yeah.
Because that way it can go from Winter Wonderland and then January 1st or January 2nd it just turns off. And then it warms right up.
That'll make my birthday better.
Yes, it would. Because otherwise it just makes it that much harder. You know, you have January, February, the post-Christmas, you know, what have you, and it's still cold.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, it should be reserved for the holidays, the cold. But then again, if you're listening from Australia or South Africa or Brazil or Chile, like different, you know, South African countries or South American countries, different African countries, far South Asia, you know, Australia, land down under as they call it, you're used to a Christmas that's different. You're used to a very warm Christmas, like warmer than Florida even. At times it can be even warmer than Florida. Because that's during, like, North American winter. So, then, of course, it's reversed. But I don't know why that was on my mind, but it was. And to me, at least, for whatever reason, a lot of times to me these days, July 4th kind of feels like the other Christmas. I don't know if it's because summer is my favorite season or what. But of course it's not the same. I'm not saying it's better or worse, but it's not the same. Because you didn't necessarily go buy gifts for it, you know, gifts to give everybody for it. You didn't necessarily do this or that or, you know, that you do for Christmas. But in a way, it does have a different kind of feel. All right. Enough on that. So, real quickly, let me remind you of two things really quick. First of all, I want to remind you about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how God has been so great, all the miracles that have happened in my life. And it's just been amazing to see God work. And it's just been a wonderful thing to watch. to see what the hand of God has done. And just been a marvelous thing what he has done for me. And I know that he's not done. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com. That is rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles and how it can be a blessing to your life. The other thing I want to tell you about real quick is the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com if you wish to sow a seed in the Miracle Man program. And when you sow those seeds, I always pray over them, and I always pray that God bless you. Because I want you blessed. And so it's just, you know, as you sow your seed, I ask, you know, God to bless you. So I always pray for you, for your seed. So, if you want to sow a seed, go online to paypal.com in the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, and the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. Also, keep in mind that the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So please make a note of that if you would. All right. The verse I want to sow into your life, it says, therefore, God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver, not a giver who's sad for whatever reason, doesn't want to give. You know, if you want the blessing of God on your life, you should want to give. You should want to, because you're happy about what the Lord has done in your life. And so, now I'm going to get into a couple songs, and then I'm going to get into the word of the Lord for tonight. And it's going to be good, as it always is. There are days I have seen, and they're all been living. Never my voice if it high. But every time this praise breaks out, dead things rise up from the ground. The empty grave. There is resurrection power when we say the name of Jesus. Resurrection power when we raise a mighty sound. So come on, let the praise get loud. Let that empty grave resound. There is resurrection power in his name. There I've been sung in my voice, and the wrong in my name, and the burden lifted on. But every time the praise breaks out, dead things rise up from the ground. I'm a living home, there is an empty ground. There is resurrection power when we sing the name of Jesus. Resurrection power when we raise a mighty sound. We're gonna let the grave resound. Let the empty grave resound. There is resurrection power. There's power in his name. Amen. Come out of that grave. Come out of that grave. When we sing, captives, let go of those chains. Let go of those chains. When we sing, dead man, come out of that grave. Come out of that grave. When we sing, captains, let go of those chains. Let go of those chains. When we pray, dead man, come out of that grave. Come, let go of that grave. When we sing, captains, let go of those chains. Let go of those chains. When we pray, amen. Let go of that grave. Come out of that grave when we sing. Captains, let go of those chains. Let go of those chains when we there is resurrection power. When we sing the name of Jesus, resurrection power. When we raise a mighty sound, so come on and let the praise get loud. Make that empty grave resound. There is resurrection power in his name. Dead man, come out of that grave. Come out of that grave when we sing. Captains, let go of those chains. Let go of those chains when we sing. Cut that man, come out of that grave. Come out of that grave when we sing. Captains, let go of those chains. Let go of those chains when we sing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the anchor man, oh, here's my song. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the well that I drink from, oh, here's my song. So you are good, you're good, oh, you are good. You're good, oh, you are good, You're good. Oh, you are good. You're good. Oh, let the king of my heart be the life inside myself, the anchor on the wind. Oh, here's my song. Let the king of my heart be the life inside my veins, the anchor of my days. Oh, here's my song. And let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sail, the anchor in the wind. Oh, here's my song. And let the king of my heart be the life inside my veins, the anchor of my day. Oh, here's my song. You are good. You're good. Oh, 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 you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You are good. You're good. Oh, 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 you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You are good. You're good. Oh, 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 thank you, Jesus. 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 I'm counting on the, excuse me, I'm counting on the God of Jacob. I'm asking you to do the same thing for me. Yes, I'm counting on the God of Mary, who came to Jesus I know that you will keep your covenant. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Moses, who came and tore apart the ocean. I know that you will keep your promises. I'm counting on the God of David. I'm calling on the God of David, who made the shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giant. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. You heard your children, and you hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a healer then. I know you're healing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a savior then. You are a savior now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You moved in power then. Come move in power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. Oh God, oh my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh, God, my God, I need you. Oh, God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, how we need you now, Jesus. We need you to move on our behalf, Jesus. Move on behalf of your people. I know, Jesus. You were providing then. You're providing now. You were a healer then. You are healing now. Thank you, Jesus, that as you moved before, you will move now. And I thank you, Master, for that in your name. For I know that you are moving on our behalf. And oh, Jesus, I just love you. Thank you for what you're doing in us. Individually, in each one of us, as we know what we're believing for from you. As everyone is believing for something different from you. And I know that you will meet these needs that are represented tonight in these listeners. I thank you that you are the provider. You're the healer. You're the savior. And you're the burden bearer. And that you're just meeting those needs like we sang about tonight. And I thank you, Master, for that. Thank you for this time that we have, that we get to spend in your word tonight. Thank you that these listeners will receive what it is that you have for them to receive tonight as we study. As we study your word tonight. And we know that your word brings life. And I thank you, Master, that that you, Lord God, that these people will hear what you want them to hear tonight. They would have eyes to see, ears to hear this word, and that they would not be distracted by other things tonight. And I give you praise, honor, and glory for that. Because I know what you're doing. And now I'll make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen. Now let's make our confession, because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. This is my Bible. I am what the Word says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. And I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It is more than a religious book to me. And it is more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Hallelujah. Numbers, chapter 11. And we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. And I want to encourage you this next little bit. Whatever I do, you do. So follow along. Don't just sit at home and be a watcher. Be a spectator. Be a participator. Don't just sit there and watch. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Of Numbers. Numbers 11, verse 1. Now the people complained about their hardship. And let's back up so you can see why we can see why they were complaining. Verse 31. But Moses said, please do not leave us. You know where we should camp in the desert, and you can be our eyes. If you come with us, we will share with you whatever good things the Lord gives us. So they set out from the mountain of the Lord and traveled for 3 days. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them those 3 days to find them a place to rest. The cloud of the Lord was over them by day when they sent out from the camp. Whenever they set out, Moses said, rise up, O Lord. May your enemies be scattered. May your foes flee before you. Whenever it came to rest, he said, return, O Lord, to the countless thousands of Israel. Chapter 11. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, were among his outsiders. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah, because fire from the Lord had burned among them. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing, and they said, oh, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also, the cucumbers. Man, I don't like cucumbers. I do not like cucumbers. The cucumbers. The melons. The leeks, the onions, and the garlic. I like garlic salt. The onions, no thank you. Leeks, I don't know what leeks are. Melons, don't like those either. Verse 6. But now we have lost our appetites. We never see anything but this manna. The manna was like coriander seed. The people went around gathering it and then ground it in a hamel or crushed it. But they ground it in a hand mill or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into cakes. And it tasted like something made of olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. And he asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to please you? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people?" They kept wailing to me, "Give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, do not let me face my own ruin." The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting so that they may stand there with you. I will come down and I will speak with you there. And I will take the spirit that is on you and will put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people to consecrate yourselves in preparation for them. When you eat meat, when you will eat meat, the Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day, or 2 days, or 5, or 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him, saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?' But Moses said, 'Here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them?' The Lord answered Moses, 'Is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you.' So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with them. And he took the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Ephra and Medad, Eldad and Medad, who remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but they did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up, and he said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Then Moses, with the elders of Israel, returned to the camp. Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. It brought them down all around the camp to about 3 feet above the ground, as far as the day's walk in any direction. All that day and night and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. Then they spread them out all around the camp. While the meat was still between their teeth, and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague. Therefore, the place was named Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people who had craved other food. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people traveled to Hazeroth and stayed there. We'll look at the first part of Verse 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites, from each ancestral tribe and one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out in the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. These are their names. And then it gives their names. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, "Go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or is it bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled? Or are they fortified? How's the soil? Is it fertile or is it poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your, is there donuts there? Cupcakes, ice cream, is there a McDonald's? Wait. Those last couple items I said didn't say that. The ice cream, the donut. Nope. Is that fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. For it was the season for the first ripe grapes. So, they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Abraham and the descendants Isaac lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Ishkal, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Ishkal because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. Here's the report. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community. At Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There, they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land where you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Ammonites live in the Vale country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses, and he said, we should go up and take possession of the land. And we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. And they said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked, turning the page, we looked the same to them. All right, so what you see here is people were complaining to Moses about the food, the manna. God gave them manna to eat in the wilderness. He gave them manna to eat. They were complaining about it. They didn't like it. God gave them manna so that they wouldn't die. But they didn't like it. And they were told, you know, what to do with it and how, you know, on that sixth day, gather twice as much. And they had manna. Now, yeah, of course, in America, the same thing every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. For every meal. No variety. And these people were like, oh, if only we had been in Egypt. And they're like, we had all these certain things to eat in. We had this. We had that. We had, you know, all these different foods. And if only we had meat. God gave them meat. You know, but he was angry. He was angry. And Moses called out to the Lord on their behalf because they were literally wailing in front of their tents. They were like, we need food. We need food. Give us some food. Because they're like, this isn't that good. This isn't what we're looking for. And they got quail to eat. It was so much, though, that it ended up coming back up through their nostrils. And it'd be enough for them for a whole month. And he just brought it down from up above. And when God gives you something, you should be happy with what he gave you and be grateful, not be all complaining about it because it wasn't just how you wanted it to be. Maybe you had your idea. Maybe you were thinking, well, here's how I want it to be. I want it to be like this. No, because God knew how he wanted it to be. So then, after that, we read about how those Israelites you know, there were 12 men sent by Moses to go look at the promised land. Joshua was sent, as was Caleb, and 10 really strong men. Joshua and Caleb were talking, you know, and they're like, you know, God will lead us. And they're like, we saw this, we saw that, you know, the land is good, fertile. But then the other 10 guys are like, no. They're like, you know, it might be fertile, but at the same time, the land devours those who live in it. The cities are fortified and large, but they're all like, you know, the people are stronger than we are. They're bigger. They're faster. And all these things. And they're like, if we even try to go up there, we will all be devoured by them. And then people start murmuring. And God, you know, Moses sent them, Joshua, Caleb, all those ten other guys, they all had different bad things to say about what had happened. And so this is why, you know, you shouldn't just let someone so many of those people believed the other 10. Rather than believing Joshua and Caleb. Because Joshua and Caleb, you see, they had a good report to give. They were like, you know, the land is like this, flowing with milk and honey. And they're like, the land's fertile. We can grow crops. We can. You know, and all these great stuff. But all those other guys are like, we're afraid. And a lot of the people were afraid. And we'll find out tomorrow what happens as a result. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would always learn to follow your voice. And not just hear it and decide to do otherwise. And also that we would not be swayed by the bad report, but would instead believe your report, what you say, what your word says. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all tomorrow night.